God in three persons. Let us pray. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. Amen. Today is Trinity Sunday, as I say, a day dreaded by preachers and the faithful alike. The doctrine of the Trinity is an important teaching of the Church, so important that the Sunday after Pentecost is set aside to teach about it. Interestingly enough, the word Trinity does not appear in the Bible. Even so, the experience of God as Father, the Creator, as Son, the Redeemer, and as Spirit, the Guide and Strengthener, is something that we all know, we instinctively know, something that we're aware of, and something that we can share with others. The Trinity is here to be experienced. It's not simply some academic formula designed to confuse us. When Jesus was baptized, we see the three separate elements of the Trinity come together. We have the voice of God the Father from heaven, the Son standing on the river bank, and above him the dove of the Holy Spirit. And when Jesus returns to his Father in heaven, he promises the coming of the Spirit of God. And Jesus regularly makes mention of these three separate elements that make up God. At the very end of Matthew's Gospel, which we read this morning, the risen Jesus comes to the 11 disciples and he tells them of his power and his authority. And he gives his disciples a purpose, a mission. They are to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And this is known as the Great Commission. And that is what Jesus wants us, his disciples today, to do for him. We are to go and make disciples of all nations. The doctrine of the Trinity is not some formula that we are to make use of in worship. It's a way of life. The reality of God as a Trinity, three persons in one God. It's there for us to experience and then to share with other people. We are asked to immerse ourselves and others in the Trinity, in the power and in the presence and in the peace of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are to know this for ourselves and then to encourage others to be aware that our lives are lived in this triune presence. At the end of his second letter to the Corinthians, St. Paul uses those words that we all know so well. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And this is not simply a request. It's a reality that we need to be aware of and to live. If these words are used at the end of a service or of a meeting, then they're there to remind us that we are in the presence of the Trinity and we go out to live in that same presence. The doctrine of the Trinity is still something that most people believe is too hard for them to understand. Mention Advent, Christmas, Holy Week, Easter to most Christians, and you will see a spark of interest come into their eyes, because these are much-loved festivals, seasons that speak to us in so many different ways. But mention Trinity Sunday, and you're more likely to witness a blank expression along with a complete lack of interest. Today is an occasion that few of us warm to, and I wonder why this should be. You only need to look at the Athanasian Creed to find the answer. Thankfully, we don't use this creed at all. And it goes like this. I believe in God the Father, incomprehensible. God the Son, incomprehensible. God the Holy Spirit, incomprehensible. And so it goes on at great length. For most of us, the word incomprehensible sums up both the creed and the ideas about God that it's trying to express. When it comes to the doctrine of the Trinity, we are all out of our depth. We struggle with concepts that baffle us. How does it make sense to talk of three persons who are at once wholly distinct, yet wholly one? It is indeed incomprehensible. And yet this is why we need today, why we need Trinity Sunday, because it reminds us of a great, great truth, one that we cannot afford to forget, and that is that God is beyond human intellect. God defies expression. God is greater than anything that we can ever conceive. We encounter him as a loving Father who is yet sovereign over all, as a human being who lived and died among us, yet rose again and is exalted at the right hand of the Father, and as an inner reality that fills us with peace, joy, hope, and power. We can't begin to explain how all these pieces fit together, but we know that they do, because each one of us here experiences it every single day. We experience this great truth for ourselves. If we ever think that we have solved the mystery of the Trinity, the full wonder of God, then it's time to think again. Because if we ever do think this, then the truth is that we have lost sight of God altogether. The Celtic Church had no fear of invoking the name of the Trinity. When Irenaeus was asked to explain the Trinity, he pointed to a person's hands. There is more than one hand, but only one person, he said. On a hand there are several fingers, but only one hand. Our Celtic Christian ancestors could see pointers to the true nature of God in the creation all around them. St. Patrick famously used the three-leaved shamrock to explain the Trinity. There's a poem that's attributed to Patrick. Three joints in the finger, but only one finger fair. Three leaves of the shamrock, yet only one shamrock to wear. Frost, snowflakes, and ice, yet all in water their origin share. Three persons in God, one God alone. To one God alone we make our prayer. And the sun was often used by the Celts to describe the Trinity. There is the sun itself, which the human eye cannot directly look at. And then there's a single ray that we can see at a particular time and place. And then there's the sun's warmth, which radiates. I recently conducted a funeral for an old lady who in her younger days had worked as a milkmaid. Indeed, that's what it said on her marriage certificate, milkmaid. And this reminded me of a story told by Tom Gordon, which illustrates the Trinity. Johnny's granny had been a milkmaid. Not recently, because Johnny's granny was very old. Johnny loved his granny, and he loved it when she told stories about the olden days. And Johnny didn't understand much about what his granny did as a milkmaid, until one day, as part of a school visit, he was taken to a working dairy farm. And he watched in awe as the farmer got the mucky cows into the milking parlour. He was riveted by the suction tubes that were fitted onto the udders of each cow. He'd been mesmerised by the rhythmic swish, swish as the milk was squirted into the huge glass vat. And as soon as he got home from school that day, he went round to tell his granny that he had seen what she did when she was a milkmaid. The old lady explained that things had been a bit different in her day. The milking parlour was a byre, and she milked the cows by hand. There were no machines in her day. And she explained how she did the milking by hand, with the milk going into a white galvanized bucket rather than a big glass vat. And when the bucket was full, then it was poured into a large churn. And Johnny's granny explained all of this and then finished by saying that it was hard work. I spent half my life under a cow sitting on my stool, she said. What's a stool, Granny? Well, it's a wee seat and it has three legs at just the right height to get you in the right place for the milking. Three legs, not four like chairs, Johnny said. It had to be three legs, his granny explained, because that was perfect for the uneven floor of the byre. Four would have been too wobbly. Two, well, she would simply have fallen over. But three was perfect for a milking stool. Just perfect. Johnny left his granny that day with his head reeling with so much information. And his granny was left with happy memories. But she was particularly pleased with how she had described her milking stool. Her seat for milking, with three legs, each leg equally important. Three legs together, perfect, just perfect. And so is God, the three in one, the one in three. Blessed be God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one. Blessed be God, the one, the creator, redeemer, and sustainer. Amen.